This is Sales Ops Demystified, the number one most downloaded podcast in sales operations. We invite the brightest minds in sales operations onto the show to deconstruct the why, what, and how behind rep productivity, forecasting, metrics, and all things revenue. This podcast is brought to you by Ebster, the leading customer engagement platform for Salesforce. Hello and welcome to another very special episode of the Sales Ops Demystified podcast. Today, we're joined by Shola Jegaday, who has experience in sales operations at Microsoft. So these are two like insanely awesome brand names that I'd love to dig into more detail. So Shola, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's a real pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
No worries. And so let's kick off. I think, and I'm not 100% sure, that you kind of moved into sales ops at Microsoft. So A, is that correct? And then B, why did you make that move?
Yes, that's correct. My first sales operations role was at Microsoft, and the move was how do we bring business and data together? That's always been a driver path from being a computer science graduate for my first degree. And so I did that as a second degree, wanting to find a silver bullet. I didn't. And it's been a journey, I think it's the way to put it. I still haven't found the silver bullet yet.
I'm still optimistic.
But the role of working from being a business analyst, getting customer requirements, helping business with customer profiling, it led me into sales excellence, as it is called. It was called, or still called, at Microsoft, but it is sales operations. And I got there and really fell in love with what you could do from an operations perspective, how you could mold the business and support the sales team. I worked in marketing as well, so still taking, again, the operations element and using data to do all that was just intriguing for me and still is exciting today.
Amazing. So let's talk about today. Obviously, Adobe are like a vast organization. Could you just break down like where you sit and which sales function you support?
Okay, so within the product offerings that Adobe offers, we have the AEM solutions, which are more related with marketing and marketing solutions. And there is the sales organization, which is responsible for the document cloud and the creative cloud, as well as the stock and sign elements of the business. Within that, we have digital media, which is the big area of work. But then digital media is also split into the enterprise, as well as the consumer and business, which is the small and medium-sized business element of the B2B environment. For us, I'm working for the consumer. I support the consumer and sales organization, which is not the enterprise, but this is where we have the run rate as well as the big deal element of our business. So supporting across document cloud and creative cloud.
Makes sense. And roughly what is the size of the sales team that you're supporting it, and how many people are there within your sales ops team?
Within sales ops, our sales ops function is business performance. It's known as business performance. Within that, we have about six sales operations manager. In terms of the sales teams, there's just under 120. But that is still broken further based on the solution offering, because we're very solution driven in terms of our operating model. So the document cloud and the creative cloud elements of the business is supported by, I'm the primary sales operations manager in that space.
Makes sense. And if you could give a rough overview of the tech stack you guys are currently operating, that would be awesome.
Okay, so in terms of tech stack, we've got Salesforce. I think every business is in that space. We've got Tableau, which is really great for gathering our insights. We've got the whole Office stack as well, because we're into the SharePoint flows, the forms, using that to drive the processes that support our sales teams. We've got Power BI as well. So the full Office stack, Salesforce and Tableau would be my summary of our tech stack.
Awesome. Now, over the past few months, I assume you and the sales team have been more remote. What have been the core challenges that you've approached you since doing this?
It has to be the fact that within our sales ops team, we've got a business operations lead who's my manager. He's got young children, so parents of young children, but that seems to just trickle down. So when I look at the team, there's probably about four or five of us who've got school-aged children, and it was working during lockdown. That has been interesting.
I can't actually imagine, because I don't have kids, but I've spoken to people in the same situation. It seems quite stressful.
It has been, but Adobe has been really, really supportive, and the team as a whole, we've all been very supportive in bearing each other together through it. And even now with the kids going back into school, but you don't have the childcare necessities that we've always had. We've had a very supportive team, as well as Adobe being a very supportive company. So that's really, really helped us. To get through the most difficult months. I think we've just come out of it with kids just going back to school over the next week or two.
Yeah. And then have you had to make any changes internally? So whether that's operationally, culturally, or technology-wise, to help reps sell more effectively?
We have had a realignment of our focus. So, our big bets, of course, were challenged by the fact that we've had a bit pandemic over the last several months. So we've had to realign, refocus. In terms of tech changes, we haven't had any, but it's more been a cultural and as well as our focus, making sure we put our energies in the place where it gives the best return for us.
Sure. And do you think that any of those changes would persist regardless of the virus, or do you think that when things go back to normal, if and when your working style will just revert to what it was before?
Oh, that will have to be a watch this space one, because I think what we're learning from having this pandemic happen is it's changing the way businesses work. It's changing the way we think about things. It's fast-tracked a lot of digital transformation that we've been wanting to see for years. And with that happening, I think it's clear when you hear the feedback from customers or even from the sales teams that some of those changes will stay and some will evolve into something else that is applicable to what the world becomes when we get behind this, when we get this behind us.
For sure. And have the targets or objectives for the reps changed over the past few months?
Indeed, it has. It has. We've had to have I think everything we've done in, so we've literally just finished Q3. Q3 was we had to have a realignment from the plan we had at the beginning of the year to compensate for what's happened. And we've also, those changes have also driven the right results for us as a business. That has then meant we are now able to start to see the recovery and then charge on for Q4.
Got it. And so now kind of honing in onto the sales forecast, how has that been impacted? Like, or do you think you're, over the past few months, you've been accurately able to forecast the sales?
There's definitely been challenges we've had. I think there's been more surprises, good surprises, actually, because I think the first thing with the pandemic was a lot of salespeople became very, very cautious, as you would expect. But we have seen businesses making a quicker recovery and better recovery than we could have envisaged at the beginning. So I think that is definitely spurring us on, that the business for business around the world, things are going in the right direction.
Sure.
And that has helped us.
Yeah. What if the, just out of interest, what if like the typical forecasting process for your business unit in Adobe, and is that like you as a sales ops manager, is that your process? Are you responsible for it, or how does that work?
I own the process in terms of the day-to-day, but it's not a one-man business. So I have a couple of colleagues who work on an exponential modeling and smoothing model that helps us to build the run rate element. I am responsible for defining what that is, what run rate, what's big deal, based on the historical patterns we've seen in our data. And then for the needle movers, which we will call deals, that we micromanage, as we will, a regular deal. But it is, yes, it's a team effort on that one.
Sure. And then moving on to, on that. So you are going back through the historical data to see, and then to use that to inform the future forecast. And that's something that you do personally.
That's the starting process. But as you can imagine, the last two quarters has been like no other that we've ever seen. So we've had to go, okay, what are the customers saying? What are you hearing? Having to take the feedback of the sales team and use that to adjust and teach the model of a new normal in terms of our forecasting.
Yeah, exactly. So like previously, you could look back at like the last 5 years of data, and they would obviously, there'd be some nuances, but largely it would be reliable. But then you were trying to do this over the last two quarters, say, and the data was just crazy. So that was a challenge.
That was indeed a challenge. And we've made business decisions that also influence that. So for instance, a couple of months ago, Adobe extended the renewal window for customers. And that impacts every other thing downstream, whether that's retention, whether that's a new business that comes as a result of the renewal. So a lot of that we've had to go, what are we hearing? What changes did we implement? When does that change end? When do we expect we'll still have a trickle effect of that change we made? And so it's been a, on your toes, what are we learning day by day? And that is changing.
Yeah. Wow. Sounds complex. Moving on to metrics, can you share like a sales KPI metric that you think is super valuable at the moment?
Aside from ERR, which is the grail for me, annual recurring revenue is definitely what every business looks at. But I do like leading indicators like deal registration ratios, what's conversion rate. I like
In. Deal registration ratio, could you just break that down? Because I don't believe I'm familiar with that one.
Okay, so deal registration is the process where we get our external partners to log opportunities, and that's off the back of quotes that's been given to customers. So that's the first leading indicator for us as a business that things are slowing down, picking up, or just flat.
Got it. Okay, so your partners would be kind of registering less potential deals. And therefore, Yes. You know that in 6 months, that might impact the pipeline, or maybe sooner than that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And those are some of the, with our partners, the expectation is once you've sent out a quote, you've logged a deal, because there's a possibility that it will close. We then have conversion of that, which is of the quotes you've sent, how many of you sent out as a partner, how many does become an opportunity, and then how do we do? So all those is that it's a very long way off, but it's a leading indicator of what happens to us in the future.
Sure. Awesome. And have any of these, obviously those metrics have been changing, but have you been looking at any other kind of metrics over the past few months?
We've been looking at ARPU as well, because the fact that we are in this economic situation worldwide means that customers have become much more conscious of spend and cost savings. So, but as a business as well, we also need to look at, we want to do the right thing by our customers as well as ourselves. So ARPU is a really important metric for us, and where we're having to do a lot of variance analysis on our ARPU to make sure we're doing the right thing for us as a business, but then still giving our customers the best price to get the service that they get from us.
Sure. Amazing. Well, that was a bit of a deep dive into a pretty big organization on how all this stuff works. It actually fascinates me how much the role can change based on size of organization. Because I have interviewed some people where they are the only sales person and they have like 9 sales reps. And it's just almost a completely different conversation that is compared to something like this where the organization is just significant. So it is fascinating.
It is.
But let's finish off with the final 2 questions. And so the first one is, who in your sales ops career has taught you the most?
It has to be Juliette Lavery. She was my first sales ops manager. She was the head of sales excellence at Microsoft. And wow, she'd been at Microsoft for over 3 decades. And I learned a ridiculous amount from her, just from working closely with her. And I think I can't think of any other person I've learned so much from about sales operation. In more recent times, Stuart Gill is the business performance and operations lead at Adobe. I don't think I've learned any more from anyone about stakeholder management than I have from him. And so a big thank you to those people in terms of my career.
Amazing. So Stuart and Julia, we'll actually reach out and see if they're interested in coming on the show because of your glowing review. And then the final question is, maybe someone within sales ops who you don't know that you would love to take for lunch.
Oh, I didn't realize it had to be someone I didn't know. I thought about someone
It could be either someone that you do or that you don't.
Okay, brilliant. It was someone I know. It's someone I do know. I don't work with him very much at the moment, but Ian Tombo, he's an international senior sales operations manager at Adobe. And I think he's been doing it for so long that the wealth of information that comes from him, you just think, yeah, he'd be a nice one to take out for lunch.
And sorry, what was, I think I missed his name.
Ian Tombo.
Ian Tombo. Awesome. There we go. So three big names in the world of sales ops for people to check out if they do want other people to follow. But Shola, as I said, I think it was super interesting, like deep dive into the forecasting challenges of a massive organization. And so I do think it's good that we provide these different perspectives on sales ops to the audience, because historically I think the guests we've had come on have been from small organizations. So I'm really glad to bring you on. Thank you so much for giving us your time. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Same here. Thank you very much for having me, Tom. And thank you for the interview. On forecasting, I have to say, we're still learning. We haven't nailed it yet. It's never completely done. So still work in progress, another journey. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Sales Ops Demystified podcast. If you are listening on a podcast listening application, then please subscribe, rate, and review. And if you have any questions about the show, if you know a guest, or if you have any questions about sales operations, just hit me up at tomhunt@ebster.com. That's tomhunt@ebster.com.